Our first scripture reading tonight comes from Psalm 116, and you can find that on page 615 in the Pew Bible. So that's Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thanks offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke, and I'm reading chapter 1, verses 26. To 38, and that's on page 1026 of the Pew Bible. So Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. May God bless to us these readings of his holy word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we've just listened to the hymn written by Matt Redman, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. And I think this is a really powerful hymn to be able to sing, because it's one thing to be able to sing God's praises when the sun is shining down on us and the world's all that it should be. But a completely different thing to be able to sing God's praises when we are on the road marked with suffering and when there is pain. Can we still praise God in our sufferings or when the darkness has closed in? Maybe you've been around someone that is deeply troubled and experiencing pain and suffering, but still they can say, Blessed be the name of the Lord. Their faith stays despite their afflictions. Still they can praise God. Still they can count their blessings despite their circumstances. And wow, what an amazing witness these people are to other people. Faith that can say, Blessed be the name of the Lord through all times. And this is what we meet tonight in the Psalm of Thanksgiving. In verse 10, the psalmist says, I was greatly afflicted, but still I believed. And the modern Message translation writes, I stayed faithful, though bedeviled, and despite a ton of bad luck, despite giving up on the human race, saying they're all liars and cheats. Here was someone that was graciously accepting the path God had set out for him and stayed faithful, despite the pains, despite the suffering, despite the lack from other human beings. And we see this amazing faithfulness and acceptance of God's plan also in the life of Mary. A young girl all set to be married to Joseph. And then Gabriel, an angel, informs her of a different plan. He said, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. Often our lives do not turn out as we expect or had planned. And we might wonder what God's plan is for us. Mary's life changed dramatically. She was in the midst of planning a wedding. And now she gets the news that she's going to be a mother. And she'll become pregnant before the wedding. And the boy will be a king. But Mary accepts God's plan for her life, even when anticipating the humiliation and rejection that might lie ahead. She said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. We can draw great comfort and inspiration from Mary, who was honest with her fear. At first she was greatly troubled when she heard the news. And we too might be greatly troubled at the prospect of God's plans for us. But we shouldn't feel guilty in having this response. Mary hears from the Lord and she accepts his surprising plan for her life. Let it be to me according to your word. And what a powerful testimony. I'm sure Mary's humility is what we all long to see in our own hearts. Mary was a servant of the Lord, willing to do whatever he asked of her. She entrusted herself fully to God. And Mary's response isn't something we should only reflect upon at Advent and Christmas time. It should be a way of living every day. When traffic delays us, when people disappoint us, when paths change direction, when both hardships, illness and blessings come, may we be people who accept God's plan as best and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And what a powerful testimony this would be to others. Psalm 116 from beginning to end is a powerful personal testimony. It is a sincere psalm of thanksgiving to God. The psalmist is confessing his love for the covenant God of Israel. And he says in verse 1, "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice." In my readings for preparing for this sermon, I read that this is the only place in the whole of the Old Testament where such a testimony is made. Even though God calls Israel to love the Lord with all their beings, they don't ever express it with such directness. But we know that there would be no love for God were it not for God's prior love for us. There is always a because in our confession of love for God. John writes, "We love him because he loved us." The psalmist is speaking out to God in a spirit of sincere devotion. He has come into the temple in Jerusalem to pay his vow to God and to offer a sacrifice because God answered his prayer. We don't know who he is or where he has come from, but what is very clear is that he has suffered affliction and God heard his cries for help. And we're not made aware of what affliction the psalmist received deliverance from, but it looks like it could have been a sickness of body, which brought him very near to death. In verses 3 to 4, he writes, "The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow." So he cries out, "O Lord, save me." In ancient Israel, there was no medical science, no NHS. So there was much unnecessary suffering. When the psalmist looked in the face of death, he could see nothing to let him close his eyes in hope. What he saw was the dim and dismal abode of the dead. He knew of no resurrection hope that we now know through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Israelite felt the pangs of death take hold of him and suffered distress and anguish. Distress and anguish, but still he praised God. Do we lift up the voice of praise for that? When pain comes, either in body or mind, we seek deliverance. We seek deliverance by taking medication and treatment and the risk, the side effects that might come. We submit ourselves to counsellors and psychologists and surrender our wills to the specialists in the quest for peace. We rightly accept human and medical help when we need it. But none of that was available to the psalmist. But he did more than accept human help. He called on the name of the Lord, and this was his prayer: "O Lord, save me." It might not be the highest kind of prayer. It might be criticised by those who hold that true prayer is communion and not supplication, and that we shouldn't start a prayer by asking God for something. But asking is a large part of prayer, as most of us know it. And it found its way even into the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 26, verse 39, we hear, "Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.'" With this in mind, like the psalmist, we should never be ashamed to come to God, not only with intercessions on behalf of others, but also for ourselves, for our own pains and suffering. But remembering that God is ultimately in charge, yet not as my will, but as you will. And the psalmist's prayer was answered, perhaps not immediately, but it was answered. So there in the temple, the most important thing on his mind was to express with others the grace and compassion that God had given him. So he proclaims from verse 5, and I'm reading again from the Message translation. God is gracious. It is he who makes things right, our most compassionate God. God takes the side of the helpless. When I was at the end of my rope, he saved me. I said to myself, relax and rest. God has showered you with blessings. The psalmist has called on the name of the Lord for deliverance, and he now understands the grounds of his confidence as he relates those characteristics associated with God's name: gracious, righteous, and merciful. The God of compassion has delivered him and has set things right, and he can now return to a state of rest. And with this, we are reminded of the words of Jesus, who promised rest to those who are weary and heavy burdened by sin. We have true rest now and for all eternity, as we have Jesus, our resurrection hope. In verses 8 to 11, we hear, for you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay, I said, all men are liars. In this confession of faith, God is addressed directly. The psalm was used by the Jewish exiles to express their grateful thanks to God. But we too can take these words upon our own lips as we contemplate the salvation that God has accomplished through his Son, Jesus Christ. We are brought from death to life in Christ, and he will keep us from stumbling. In verses 12, the psalmist asks himself how he can repay such a lavish and prayer-answering God. He says, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. He will repay the Lord as any religious Jew would do, by saying, he will pay his vows, his animal offerings, as laid down in the law. We as Christians rescued from our own sin, likewise take this cup of salvation by faith and drink from it continuously for our own spiritual well-being. Each time we take the cup of the Lord's table, we are symbolically indicating our appreciation of God's saving work and all the benefits that derive from being one with him. When we join the Lord's Supper tonight, we are reminded we are taking part in a sacrifice of praise. This psalm is one powerful personal testimony from start to finish, and one which he gives in front of many people in verse 18. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. He is singing God's praise to all that might listen to him. God does answer prayer. It is a testimony in this psalm, and it's a testimony through all the ages. Even when it works through doctors and nurses, it is still his work, for without God they can do nothing. And because of all he has received, this humble and joyful Israelite makes his personal response, and it is a warm and spontaneous response. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. His response to God is not merely a ritual act, but also a maintained relationship with God. I will call on him as long as I live. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Wow, what an amazing witness and testimony. The experience of the psalmist is not an ancient experience, but it's also a contemporary experience. Every day, men and women are praying to God in their hours of distress, suffering, and need of forgiveness, and are finding freedom from past sin, freedom from pains, freedom from suffering, and redemption through the cross of Christ. When it happens to us, let us not go our way as though nothing has happened, but let us offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay our vows in the presence of all his people. We can witness so easily to others by sharing our faith in a few words of sincere testimony. Let me tell you what God has done for me recently, what Jesus means to me, or the difference of being a disciple of Jesus is this, or the strength I get by going to church and worshipping with God's people in God's house is this, or in the words of the psalmist in verse 1, I love the Lord, for he has heard me and listened to my prayer. The psalmist has much to teach us. Let us pray. Lord, how can we repay you for all your goodness to us? As we gather together this evening, we will lift up and call on the name of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of coming into your presence, of recognizing that you are here with us now, right now in this moment. We want to see you with our hearts and hear you speak to us this night. We love the Lord because he heard our voice and our pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to us. Therefore, we will call on him as long as we live. We thank you, God, that your loving kindness towards us has no end. There is no bottom to the ocean of grace you have for us. We thank you for reminding us that we cannot wander too far away from you. Your mercy draws us back and restores us. We will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. As we take the cup of salvation, we will be reminded tonight that our Lord is gracious and righteous and merciful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.